We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one, and by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Now, here's Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. This is the Game Plan Live, along with the voice of the Sooners, Toby Rowland. I'm Chris Plank, and we are back live on Facebook. So today will be about your reactions, questions, thoughts, and I think I know where a lot of this conversation may lead, Toby. The Fox and how it got on the field
at
the
Cotton Bowl. There was a Fox on the field, Chris.
No one liked my joke. I felt like I had a home run. Now, my wife always tells me I'm not funny, but when I said that Fox probably lives at the Cotton Bowl and he came running out, yeah. I was like, what are all these people doing here?
I thought it was great. I didn't think it was a joke. I think you're probably right.
It's one of two games that's played every single year at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
And by the way, kudos. I walked in on Saturday morning with their field guy. We walked in at the same time. That's not like bragging that I got there early, but right. I walked in the same time and I just told him, like, this is incredible. I don't know how you do it. He goes, it's easy. There's two games here all year long. Yeah. So, and I think a Rolling Stones celebration.
You're a big turf management guy.
Well, I feel like on the sidelines.
How's your lawn?
I just gave it its final mow. We got a little seeding we got to do on the front yard.
You have a good-looking lawn, though?
Front yard. Don't go look at the backyard. Okay. You know, it's always about, you know, what it's like, for instance, I'm wearing joggers. If I stood up right now, I wouldn't look very professional.
Right.
Collared shirt, I look like I belong. Front yard looks great when you're driving by. Backyard.
A mullet. You'd be good in a mullet.
That's right. That's the way to go.
Business in the front, party in the back.
So if you're not about the Fox, and obviously the conversation centers around who will it be on Saturday afternoon, evening, inside Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium. And as expected, T. Row, Lincoln Riley, not really tipping his hand one way or the other with Spencer Rattler or Caleb Williams.
Fascinating press conference. I thought that, you know, it was almost all about the quarterback.
Every single question.
Coming off a game with more twists and turns than any game I've ever seen. More fascinating things that happen. Certainly the quarterback situation is at the top of the list and is interesting. So it deserved to be asked about. I thought Lincoln was very thoughtful and forthright about the whole situation. He didn't act like he didn't want to talk about it. He was perfectly willing to talk about how Spencer's handling things and his personality and what he liked and didn't like from Caleb, and the fact that he likes being the one who psychologically is responsible for these kind of things. Doesn't need a quarterback coach. Like, I do this all the time. This is.
I thought that was great, by the way.
So it was a very interesting press conference, and it looked like Lincoln walked in and said, I understand what's going to be asked of me today, so let's just be completely honest with everyone. And I think that's what he was. And I think it's probably going to be Caleb Williams. I don't know how you have a game like that, a win like that, a comeback like that, and Caleb Williams isn't the starter for the next game. But I think that Lincoln is right, and we're going to look at some Caleb Williams highlights. I want to circle back and talk about Spencer here in a second. But
write that down,
first play ever in OU Texas to be this, that'll go down in history right there. And not to be lost is the fact that they went for it on that play.
Yeah, fourth and one.
On the first play of the second quarter from their own 34-yard line. That was a massive gamble. I mean, if they don't pick that up, then Texas has the ball with a chance to go up 35-7, and it's good night, Irene, right? But then he came in and just was spectacular. He had some moments that were cringeworthy. He's having a hard time with the shotgun snap, catching it multiple times now. And he had a couple of throws that you thought, oh, God, don't throw it there. But when he was spectacular, he was spectacular. This right here might have been his best throw of the day. Dropped the snap, picked it up, and threw a seed to Marvin Mims. I mean, that is a NFL. Look at this arm. And the window's not very big, and he hits him on the run.
And he knew.
The throw to Marvin on the other end, I'm sure we're going to see that. Not this one, but the one for the touchdown. This one he's throwing fading away, but Marvin makes the individual effort to come back and get it, just trusting this guy. And then here's the picture that, no, this is the comeback again. But the other throw, the touchdown one, was amazing, and he put it where only Marvin could get it. So, here it is. This is on the run, gosh. Off 1 foot.
53 yards.
A perfect pass, a perfect catch. He got a toe down. That's one of the greatest plays in the history of OU Texas right there. So Caleb was great, and I think he's going to be the starter. I'd be shocked if he's not. I think everybody would be. But let's don't forget the fact that Spencer Rattler, as the starting quarterback, has won 14 straight games. It was a week ago that we were just raving about how well he played in Manhattan and how good the offense looked. And then you've got to give him a world of credit for coming in after he was benched 2 years in a row. And last year he delivered in 4 overtimes for this team after he was benched. And this year he delivered a massive 2-point conversion pass that might have had a little anger behind it after he was benched, because it was a bullet as well.
It was a laser. So when our man Alan Grayson asks, what's next for Spencer Rattler? Well, as we learned from the press conference today with Lincoln, he gave him Monday off.
Look at this throw.
This throw. What's the term you used? Seed?
I said seed, I bullet, love that. Rocket.
Dart.
Yeah, missile.
Hand can't look
at
that.
Point.
Oh, what a play. So he didn't practice yesterday, but that was a Lincoln Riley decision. Said, hey, get away, get your head clear. He was at practice today, and I fully anticipate these guys are going to battle, right? It seems as if this offense moved pretty well with Caleb Williams, and if Spencer Rattler is going to be the backup the rest of this season, I would fully expect him to continue to fight for it. Teddy had a great take. I'm sure it stinks for him, right? This happened in front of everybody to see your backup come in and take over and excel, but I think Spencer's an awesome kid. I don't know where some of these preconceived notions come from. He's been great to interview. He's been great to talk to.
Isn't it fascinating? Like, there is a public perception of him and a team and coaching staff perception of him, and they are 180 degrees opposite. And I've been trying to figure. I've spent way too much time on my radio show in the morning trying to get to the bottom of what it's all about, and it seems to have to do a lot with, I don't know, body language and stuff television catches and things like that. But it is an interesting dichotomy for sure.
By the way, this is – we haven't even touched on the defense yet, but
– we're having a hard time keeping up with Craig Moran.
Now he's like, listen, let's move on past this quarterback.
We're not used to
thing.
Doing a podcast where somebody else is in charge.
That's right. But one thing I will add, they're going to need Spencer again this year. So that's
why. I mean, that's one thing that Lincoln has proven, right? Is that he's not afraid to bench his starting quarterback and go to the next guy. He's done it twice now. So who's to say Caleb doesn't come out in this game or one, three, or four games down the line and has a rough first half and he turns to Spencer? So I think that both of these guys are going to factor in the rest of the way.
How about the fight and speed, D? During this current 14-game winning streak for the Sooners, 8 of those 14 opponents have been held to 20 points or less. 27 forced takeaways in that span, including 8 games with multiple takeaways, plus 13 in the turnover margin. And, yeah, there were times on Saturday where it was frustrating because maybe a guy breaks free or maybe he breaks a tackle or, I don't know, the first play from scrimmage. But they fought and put Texas in tough spots all that second half.
Yeah, they gave up 48 points. So I don't know that it's a glorious day for the defense. And they gave up some bombs where they got behind them. Obviously, the first play of the game was ugly. But you do have to give them credit for the second half and the way that they got pressure consistently on Casey Thompson and the way that they bottled up Bijan Robinson in the run game in the second half. He had 101 yards, I think, at halftime and finished at 137. Now, I also think that Steve Sarkisian went away from his run game some in the second half, a little inexplicably with a lead. But that was a different team on both sides of the ball in the second half. And boy, those frontline guys, Isaiah Thomas, Perrion Winfrey, Nick Benito, they really got after that defensive line of, or that offensive line of Texas. I thought the return of Danny Stutzman was good. You see him get a sack here, or in on that sack. He was everywhere. You're going to have a hard time keeping him off the field if he's healthy, I think. Brian Asamoah had maybe his best game of the year. So some troubles on the back end, but good second half.
One thing that I did notice is they moved Isaiah Thomas inside a little bit on Saturday. You saw Caleb Kelly rushing the passer. They showed off their diversity, and on that fourth down play, which we thought was going to end up being so key, but there ended up being another score after it. They had 3 true freshmen on the field, and Stutzman, Latrell McCutcheon, and Billy Bowman Jr. And then you had a couple of older dudes out there in Pat Fields and in Justin Broyles. The mix between youth inexperience and ridiculous experience is just incredible. There's the numbers. Largest comeback victory over Texas. Previous largest was 96 in 2002. I forgot that they were down 11 in 02. 25 second half points, 240 yards in the fourth quarter. Largest comeback against Texas. I could sit here and talk about this all day.
Today we'll never forget. I mean, it's a game and a day that we'll never forget.
Ooh,
it's one
cool.
of those games where you and I could sit here for an hour and talk, and at the end of that hour, we'd think of 6 things that we forgot about.
Well, I already have, and I was already mad because I rewatched last night, and I was nervous the whole time. I'm rewatching the second, third, and fourth quarter, and I'm nervous the whole time. I don't have any nails left, and this was in the middle of a Dodgers game, too. And yet, lo and behold, you're watching it, and there's little things that you forget. For some reason, TV skipped past the Kennedy Brooks run where he was down in the fumble.
A huge
play. Massive play in that game.
Yeah.
Massive play in that game, and those throws from Caleb Williams. You know, there's a couple of the throws where I look back on that fourth quarter, and you're like, that could have been picked.
But
he had the velocity behind it that it went right by the defensive back. God, fun Saturday. Unstinking believable. Have you trademarked that yet?
No, Lou Holtz stole it from me. Yeah.
Let me get a couple of them. So the whole point of being able to do this live is to hear from you. We're back up on Facebook, so let's answer some questions. Doug Armstrong wants to know, any updates on injuries?
Nobody asked.
Nobody
at the
asked.
Press conference.
Not a question about it, guys.
We were all worried about the quarterback, so hopefully tonight, I don't know. Sometimes Lincoln will update us on those, especially if a guy's about to come back. Sometimes he won't. But I would love to know just kind of an update on Woody Washington and Jalen Redmond and Theo Weiss. Those are guys that have been out now for an extended period of time. Does it still look like it's going to be quite a while longer? Are any of them close? I think they could really use Woody.
I do, too.
We got him tonight for the coach's show, and hopefully we can get a question in there about that.
Woody was there Saturday, so he was on the sidelines. That's the first time I saw Jalen Redmond since he had been out. He was in the game on Saturday. So those are the two big ones. You mentioned Theo. I didn't see him down there on Saturday. He's been kind of a mainstay at home games, had the little cart with his cask. So maybe the hope is sooner rather than later for Theo and Woody. Might be a little bit of, or excuse me, for Jalen and Woody, maybe a little bit of time
for
Theo.
You got Delarian Turner-Yale now, out again after the injury on the first play of the game.
But throughout the game, Tyrese Robinson went down for a little bit, but he came back in the game. I think they stayed pretty healthy.
As physical and as hot as it was, it's amazing that it appeared anyway to get out of it without more dings than they did.
Yeah, Game Bold and Benny Wiley and his staff, Scotty Kolak, Brian Keegan, Cesar Martinez, they do an incredible job, man. They're really good at their job.
Talk about that crowd. You were down on the field.
I don't know if I've recovered. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I've been reaching out to people because I've been wanting to do podcasts about them and wanting to write articles about it. And it helps that most of it was played in the south end zone, right?
Fourth quarter, yeah.
The big moments were. Yeah. But it's just, I have my headphones and I wear them the whole time, right? I'll take one ear off sometimes to hear maybe a little bit of what the coaches are saying. I'm getting pretty good at reading lips, but not good enough to where, you know, Dennis Simmons is good. He can hide what he's saying, but you take it off and try to hear a little bit. There was a lot of times in that fourth quarter where I just took them off and just, you know, you immersed. You bathed in the madness that was that south end zone.
I love the video you posted.
Wasn't that great?
That was great. Yeah.
The dude, the guy in the cowboy hat in my video at Plank Show on Twitter, I want to find you. We got to talk, man. He just standing on it, got his cowboy hat, pumping his fist. It was ready. It was awesome.
It was absolute pandemonium. It was the greatest. That's the greatest OU crowd. That and the jump around game.
Yeah.
In Norman were the two greatest OU crowds I've ever seen.
I wasn't there for the jump around game. That was pre-me on the
Nebraska sideline. 2000, that's way up there too. I'm continuing to add to the list.
And then let's not forget, no, I'm just kidding. And then there was this, and there was that Oklahoma game when the Bedlam game when Brendan Clay walked him off.
Yeah,
that was a pretty special atmosphere too. But speaking of running backs, Kendall writes, great to hear that Marcus Major is in shape having been working with the scout team. You know, I think Marcus Major he gives them another body in the running back room.
Sure.
And I think sometimes Marcus, I mean, let's face it, had maybe his best game last year in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, no doubt.
Most players did. Mm-hmm. So I think it helps when you have another body like that in there.
Well, that's a position that gets dinged up. You know, they've been fortunate so far this year that the two guys that they lean on, Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray, have stayed healthy. But this gives you a little bit of depth. I think if Brooks and Gray continue to stay healthy, you're probably not going to see a lot of Marcus Major. But if one of them suffers an injury or gets dinged up a little bit, then it gives you another back who has experience and is a really good player. Marcus Major's a really good player. So that's not a little thing.
No.
Rarely do you get through a season without working your way down the depth chart at the running back spot. So I think it's a pretty big deal that they got him back.
We go back to 16 quite a bit whenever we're on a plane to go to Ames, Iowa, and Samaje's hurt, and Joe Mixon is suspended, and Daniel Brooks is hurt, and the next thing you know, you look out, and the fullback's the running back. So you always want to make sure you have that depth there. I like this from Maryland. Maryland Cole writes, I hope the fans who were in Dallas show up in Norman the rest of the year. We supported the team. Can we get that atmosphere every Saturday? Can we all go crazy every Saturday inside Gaylord? I mean, it's a great atmosphere, but that's going to be hard to emulate. Just don't fall down 14-0 to make it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain. I think there was a couple of years of frustration built in because a lot of fans didn't get to go last year. You knew something was different when they're holding up the team to go up the ramp at halftime, down 18 points, and the crowd gives them a standing ovation. And that's when it first caught my eye. Holy cow. Because that's not the reaction you expect for a team going back in the locker room down 18. And the crowd was behind them from that point the rest of the way. Just carried them. I mean, they just carried them. It was spectacular.
God, there's a lot of great questions here. And all of them, as you might imagine, center around the quarterback position.
All right.
But, I mean, most want to know who you think starts on Saturday.
I think it'll be Caleb. I mean, I don't know, but it's just a little hard to imagine that after the game he played and the win they just had, that it won't be him. So my guess is it'll be Caleb, and I think he earned it with that win.
Craig, do we have time for a couple more? Okay, two more quick ones here. Richard Newman asks, how much you think is being given to how the chemistry for the whole team seemed to change for the good when the change at quarterback happened? I think chemistry matters a lot. I think confidence in both guys is very high from Lincoln Riley. But I don't know. I don't know if Lincoln Riley goes back and looks at the tape and says, wow, look at how things changed when he came in. We can do that every single game. I don't know. It's a fair question, but
I think that it is a fair question. And I do think that there seemed to be an excitement to Caleb Williams being on the field and everything that was palpable. I also think that a lot of it had to do with the way they were running the ball, the way the defense was playing. The whole kind of comeback effort became a snowball that the crowd and the offense and the defense all got built up in. And Caleb's a piece of that formula, for sure. The first three drives that he led after taking over starting quarterback were field goal, punt, field goal. So it wasn't like it just was immediate, you know, but then it got going from that point on. So I think that that's a part of it. I think that'll be a part of the decision making was the team did seem to be inspired by the 66-yard run, by the bomb to Mims. He's got an effervescence to him that he plays with that we saw, you know, kind of from Baker back in the day. And so that's a part of the whole equation that I think Lincoln is considering.
My man Jacob Younger writes with the great mustache.
But here's also a part of the
formula. Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
here's
Jacob.
Also a part of the formula. The other guy has been the starting quarterback for 14 straight victories.
They won them all.
Now, and he played great in four overtimes against Texas, and he led him to victory in the Cotton Bowl, and he played great the week before against Kansas State, and he knows the offense like the back of his hand. So, you know, all of that is factored in as well.
Jacob writes, at what point do you see Isaiah Thomas getting his due nationally?
Yeah.
He deserves it. He looked really good in the second half Saturday.
He deserves it. He's playing on big stage. I think that you follow the draft a lot closer mm-hmm. than I do. I would be surprised at his size if he's not working his way into a pretty good spot for a draft at the next level. So, boy, he had a big game again Saturday.
Will Marcus Major be playing? He was in uniform. Lincoln addressed that today. He's been working with the scouting team. We'll see. There's two running backs ahead of him on the depth chart. And that was going to be the case even if he was eligible to start the season. So will we? I mean, I don't think Kenny Brooks looked pretty good this week in 200-plus yards when Eric Gray got in there. I think we all concern ourselves with depth, and that's fair enough. But the most important question of the day, which gives us an opportunity to promote here a little bit. Brad Hubbard wants to know, what is it that you advertise that seeks the radio sound to the TV visual? I need that.
Well, you go to a website called syncmygame.com, and it kind of walks you through how to do it with your television. It's not a device. It's just simply getting the radio program behind your TV and pausing your TV to make it match up, and it talks you through how to go about that. So syncmygame.com. Thousands of Sooner fans are doing it. They figured it out. You can too.
Syncmygame.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can watch our Pizza Hut in the booth cam and see this man right here, who's the real show of the whole thing.
Untrue. Teddy Lehman's a lot of fun. Stats Kelly's a lot of fun to watch.
You know, Teddy has this thing that he does. Whoa! If you go right, we put the actual broadcast, the full broadcast, if you missed it, it's on the podcast right now. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday, you can find it in the archives. Go right now to Soonersports.com/podcast. It's the first thing up is a rebroadcast of the game. And you can tell when something good or bad is happening, because Teddy's always,
no. So on the one bomb that Texas hit, he goes, oh, no.
It's well worth it. And to see stats and to see, you can see the Texas broadcasters on the other side and our man Craig Way, who is just a great person, the dejection. But, yeah, syncmygame.com, syncmygame.com, step-by-step instructions for how you can get it done. You ready for Saturday night?
No. It's Tuesday.
Let's keep celebrating.
Come on, man.
Lincoln's like, oh, we're already on a TCU. I'm like,
I got a lot
not,
of work to do between
I'm
now
not,
and Tuesday. Yeah.
And what we see from TCU, they always come in here and give Oklahoma problems.
They do.
Not a bad football team.
No, and their running game is churning. Now, I think they got some defensive issues right now. Usually Gary Patterson's gotten them buttoned up pretty good on that side of the ball. They're struggling a bit defensively, but they can run the ball. I mean, Zach Evans, Kendre Miller, Max Duggan can hurt you in the quarterback run game as well. So OU's run defense has been the strength of their defense this year. That's going to be tested again. They did pretty good against Bijan, especially in the second half, but they're going to be tested again against TCU.
Look at those numbers from Spencer Rattler last year. 332, two touchdowns, what a day. In beating a TCU team.
Couple of that, classic Marvin Mims catches in that game, too.
And we also look back in that game, and our boy Teddy Lehman and Gabe Eichard were not complimentary of the effort we saw late from TCU in that game. So you know they're going to have something to prove Saturday night. Primetime at the Palace. A look at the numbers. Oklahoma, tight, right? I mean, you've got a running back in Zach Evans who is pretty special for TCU.
Yeah, 236 rushing yards per game. That's
per
a
game.
Bunch.
Per game. We thought that it was impressive what we saw from Bijan Robinson. Zach Evans is right there with him. So that's going to be a fun matchup on Saturday night. Great stuff, Toby. Have a great week as we count down to Oklahoma and TCU. For those of you on the podcast side, the Lincoln Riley press conference is right now.
All right, thanks, Chris. Good to see everybody. Excited to get back home here. Good couple of game stretch away from Norman here, but excited for home game Saturday night against a very good TCU team, a team that we know very well. You know, one of the few staffs in this league that's been pretty consistent most of the way through here through at least our tenure here. So, ton of respect for Coach Patterson, job he's done there for years and years. They got a really good football team this year. Guys playing well on both sides of the ball, explosive offensively. They're running the ball very well. Quarterback's playing well for them. Always good defensively. He seems to be able to just plug and play guys defensively year in and year out and find ways to play very well. So it'll be an exciting challenge and excited for our team. You know, now we're in the second half of the regular season. A lot of good here in the first half, a lot of things that we can learn from, and this has typically been the time for us when we really surge and play some of our best ball, and that's absolutely our intent right now. And really focused on what's forward and excited about the team we have. I'll get a bunch of questions about it. Don't plan on naming a starting quarterback here this week. We'll see how the week plays out, see where we are when we get to Saturday. Guys have done well, practiced well today, so we'll see how it goes. We'll see you Saturday at 6:30. All right. Questions?
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, Lincoln, got to start off with the quarterback thing. I want to ask you about Spencer and the way he's handled things over the last 72 hours or so. What have your interactions been like with him, and how is he doing and handling everything?
He's doing, considering the circumstances, he's doing well. It's not easy for a young guy. I mean, this guy gets painted a different way publicly than what he really is. And he's a great kid. He's worked his tail off here. He's been a really good player here. I have a ton of trust in him. And so he's doing well. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy competing at the level we do and being on kind of the stage and platform. And it's great when things are going good, but it also can make it tougher when something doesn't go your way. I think he's handled it well. We've had some good talks. I've, I gave him the day off yesterday. I told him, get out of here. Don't come up here. We had a good talk, and I thought I wanted him just to refresh, recharge, and come back re-energized and ready to go today. And he came back today and had a great practice, just like I expected he would. Was bouncing around the practice field. So he's a great kid. He's working hard. Again, I have a ton of trust in him, and you know, it's not. Everybody thinks they want this, but it's not easy. And you know, it's what's good for me is I can the history with some of the guys that you know, I've been lucky enough to coach here. They've all had those types of moments, and not one of them that had just the, you know, nice, smooth, rosy ride to where they are now. It's there's always bumps in the road. There's always challenges, and you know, you've got to find ways to overcome them, and you got to rely on your support systems to do that. And you know, Spencer's going to do that, and he's going to be just fine. He's too good a player to not be very good as this thing goes on.
I think we all assumed Spencer was going to be the guy because of last season, but during the preseason, during fall camp, was there a quarterback competition? I mean, was Caleb competing for that job?
We have competition at each spot, but I would say fall camp, it was, I'll say not close, but it was very clear that Spencer was the guy that was going to start the season. I don't think there was any doubt about that. So, and again, you know, I know how these things go, and everybody, you know, is going to remember what's most fresh on their mind. You know, a week ago, we were sitting up here talking about how well Spencer played, and you know, the other part of it is we got to remember, I think we are on a, I don't know what it is, 13, 14-game win streak right now, so the sky's not quite falling. So, you know, I think we keep it in perspective. You know, Spencer did not play his best early in the game the other day. Caleb came in and did a good job. Caleb wasn't perfect either. Did a good job. Spencer did a great job coming in on the two-point play. You know, for me, I feel like I have two really good players, and I feel like I don't see it as a problem. I don't see it as an issue. It's like, you know, you've got to choose between two great options, and it's a good position to be in. And I know both those kids will respond no matter what position they're in.
Lincoln, moving on, Marcus Major back. How quickly can he become a factor in the running back room, and how much is that going to help with the depth here for a second time?
Yeah, no, it was a nice surprise, honestly. It was a little unexpected. But it's good to have him back in the fold. He's been practicing as a scout team member the entire year, so he's had a chance to go against our defense and run competitively each week. So we'll get him – we'll get him back reacclimated with us offensively, and I mean, he's still been in meetings and all that, so he'll just need some reps to kind of get back in the flow and rhythm. It'll be great to have. We've been, you know, fortunate to keep, you know, those guys healthy up to this point, but as we know, that position, especially when we have games like Saturday when they're super productive, it's also a very physical position, so having him back will, it certainly helps, and he's got some good experience and some good explosion, bring some size and some real physicality to the room, which will be a nice addition.
Lincoln, two-part question, if you wouldn't mind, related to the portal and the quarterback position.
Yeah.
It's omnipresent, especially at that spot, everywhere. You've been through it here. Do you have assurances that both those guys are going to stick this season out? Some coaches have to worry even week to week anymore with
sure.
How available the portal is. Mm-hmm. And number two, how much does the transfer situation loom in however you navigate that situation moving forward?
Yeah. There's never any guarantees. I mean, you can't predict the future, but I would fully expect to have both those guys the entire season. I would. Again, I know there's never 100%, but I think both those guys are pretty committed to this football team. I think it's a factor. I mean, I think as you plan long term, it is. I think, you know, what we've tried to preach with our guys, especially in the middle of the season, I mean, one is your commitment level to this place. And then, you know, these opportunities pop up, I mean, so often. And I mean, there's so many examples through the years of, you know, maybe a guy, I mean, we've talked about it in here some, like Marquise his first year. And I mean, there's I could go through 50 guys right now of guys that maybe opportunity didn't show, and then all of a sudden, bam, here you go. But I think our point to these guys has been, as this question has been brought up, I'm not talking about the quarterbacks, just the team in general, has been, you know, what is the advantage for leaving midseason? You know, I mean, to me, if you're wanting to leave and go search for another opportunity, then that's fine, but you're going to leave, you're going to go to nowhere. All right, you can't practice football on your own. You can train and do all that, but you can't actually practice football by yourself. So here you could be sharpening your skills, helping the team, and maybe an opportunity pops up here and bam, you're ready. And if it doesn't, all you've done is make yourself more marketable and more ready for the next stop. And then the other thing I've told these guys, I've been honest about it, and I get maybe other coaches don't – not everybody feels this way, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I can tell you personally, if I'm looking at a guy – that's a potential transfer incoming here, and that guy quit on his team midseason. Unless there's a extenuating circumstance, I'm going to have a hard time taking him. And I think a lot of other coaches would echo that as well. So, I mean, because the question in your mind comes up, well, if he did it there, why wouldn't he do it here with us? And so I think this guy's got to have some perspective on it and some patience. And then I think at the end of the season – you sit down, have reasonable discussions with these guys, their families, and try to figure out the best route for everybody.
John Hoover.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, from your perspective as the head coach and the quarterback's coach, the guy who makes the calls, when you have a preseason competition and you're trying to decide between who's going to be the starter is going to be, and you're looking at criteria and you're grading this and grading that, mm-hmm. what now? And when you've got a situation, a decision to make like you made Saturday, mm-hmm. moving forward, do you apply some of the same criteria? Is it a different criteria because you've seen them in games? How do you apply that?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think it's – there's going to be, I would say, admittedly a little bit more feel with this one, but I've also got a lot more to go on with both these guys. You know, I mean, that's – you know, in Spencer's case, I've obviously been in a lot of battles with him, and the experience, the trust factor, all that's there with Caleb. I mean, I'm seeing more reps – you know, day in and day out, got a chance to see him play in some games. So you're learning more. Admittedly, there's not as many reps to go around as you do in a fall camp. But now you're talking about specific game plans and what you think is going to be best versus an opponent, how a guy's practicing. So, you know, we still, you know, regardless, we got starter, backup, whoever it is. I mean, we still give our backup here a decent chunk of the reps. And so, again, if we were to go 50-50 on the reps, it's not going to cost the starter a lot, and the backup's not going to be getting a whole lot more. So really just splitting hairs there. So I think it's very easily navigated. And, again, I think it's a heck of a lot more of a problem to me if I feel like I got two guys that ain't ready. And it's like I'm not picking between two very good choices. So I feel like I'm picking between two really good choices that I think can both go play extremely well and have played extremely well.
Yeah, nobody does it anymore. They used to do it fairly often. Everything about just playing two quarterbacks?
No.
And I don't mean in like two-point conversion or short yardage. I mean just literally play them both.
I guess to my core, I'm not in favor of it, but I don't want to – just because it's maybe something that I don't deep down really believe in, I don't know that I'd ever take it off the table if I felt like it could help our team. But it's – I guess at the surface, it's not something I would want to have, but I could never know. I could stand up here and say, heck no, and then we go do it on Saturday. So we'll just see how it evolves. Yeah.
What's the downside? Why don't people do it anymore?
You know, I think the rhythm is tough. I mean, I think there's some challenges there just with the rhythm of the game, seeing things. I've always believed sometimes that it's more, you know, similar to kind of what happened 2 years ago in the Texas game where – you know, if the starter, you feel like it's just a tick off, you let them kind of catch their breath. Sometimes it's good for them to kind of see it from the sidelines and kind of see it unfold as opposed to out there and kind of in the middle of the action. And I've had a couple examples throughout the years where I think that's been where that's been pretty effective. So I think the rhythm of it and for the entire offense is probably number one. And then I think a lot of times, unless you got guys whose their styles are exactly the same, you know, you're talking about, you know, potentially two sets of game plans, all of that, which can be challenging for the other 10 guys.
Wouldn't two sets of game plans, as challenging as it is, wouldn't it drive Gary Patterson crazy?
If you could do them well, it'd probably make them tough. But I think at some point there's some diminished returns there offensively, you know, against especially like a good defense like this on, you know, what can you get the guys ready to do at a high level against a good group?
James Hale?
You know, you talked about Gary Patterson, the things he does defensively. What does he do that always causes people problems on defense?
Yeah, man, there's a lot. You know, they're very multiple. You know, I think they've always done a tremendous job in the secondary, have made things, you know, very tough. They're very aggressive with your routes. They do a good job of pattern reading, and they just they know their system, man. They just, you can tell they know it inside and out. They play it well. Always seems to find a couple of pass rushers that, you know, maybe we're in a ways maybe kind of hidden gems that turn into really good pass rushers. So they've done a good job. They've done a good job evaluating, developing players. They've got a system that they really stick to and believe in, and I think that's why you see the consistency throughout the years.
Cliff Brunt.
Yeah. Coach, I wanted to ask you about Kennedy Brooks, who has actually become one of the more productive backs in OU history, even though he's really never been the man. You know, so he's started 11 games. A lot of times he comes off the bench. Your thoughts on what he's been to the program and the kind of mentality you have to come through consistently in that situation?
Yeah, no, he's meant a lot to the program. I mean, he's been a part of, you know, a lot of big games, big wins, big moments here. And that was kind of obviously a little off the radar last year with everybody. But man, we're certainly glad he's back. And it's been a great ride for him. It is. And it was, you know, exciting to see him, you know, starting to get back, you know, to playing the kind of ball that he can play and maybe even playing better than he's ever played. And so excited for the second half of the season. He's been, you know, positive. He's learned a lot. I think he's really grown up a lot in the last few years. Work ethic's gotten better. Practice habits have gotten better. And it's fun to see a guy who is a team first player having some success and doing the things that he's doing well now, especially after just kind of how all last year transpired.
Ken Carlson.
Lincoln, the expectations of this team remain high, I have no doubt, regardless of who plays quarterback. But having an even younger guy than Spencer potentially playing the snaps moving forward, are there challenges inherent with a true freshman being in that position? I mean, obviously, it's happened before that those guys have played at a high level. Trevor Lawrence obviously comes to mind, but are there challenges just inherent with that? I mean, are there some things about Caleb that make you think he could really flourish in those situations?
You know, hard to say until we, I think, see how it plays out. I mean, some of that's a little bit of kind of foreshadowing and trying to understand how it's going to play out. I mean, I think the team does have high expectations, and I think we're learning more and more to try to zero in on our own and not worry too much about the outside. I think our team's doing a better job of that as we go forward. I think for our team, though, and I think, you know, you look at college football this day and age with rosters turning over so much, and this is maybe not as specific to just Caleb or just a quarterback position, but, like, you better have true freshmen ready to play. I mean, it's just the nature of it. The roster's turning over more. You're bringing in more new people than ever before, and if your new people aren't ready and ready to contribute, I mean, you're going to be behind. And so it's really crazy how much different it feels, because, I don't know, I guess when I first got started coaching, it felt like a true freshman coming in and playing well was like a bonus. You know, it was like, man, that was great. We got contributions from a couple of these freshmen and we're developing these other guys behind the scenes already. And now it's like, man, like, we need you to contribute. You know, there's going to be opportunities to contribute. And so I think you've got to rely on those guys more and more. You got to get those guys more and more ready at all positions. And I'd say quarterback's no different there.
Being able to step into that more readily now than they would have, say, 5 years ago?
I do, just because I think it's been done more. You know, you referenced, you know, Trevor, and I mean, there's been true freshmen all over positions make big plays for big teams going down the stretch and championship teams and all that. So I think it's just become more the norm. You know, it's a little bit more of the expectation level. It's also some of the flip side of probably why you see so many transfers, kind of the good and bad of it, because everybody does want to come into play, and a lot of people see freshmen playing here, freshmen playing there. I think the mentality of the kids is much, much different. More guys come in, you know, really, really wanting to play. And it's, like I said, there's good and bad to both.
Jordan Lewis.
Hey, Lincoln, I wanted to ask you about Marvin Mims, obviously a big game for him on Saturday. What did you see for him overall, and is that something that maybe that can give him momentum through the rest of the season?
Yeah, no, he was awesome. I mean, those plays he made on the balls down the field were huge plays, and just great competitive plays, which is something we, as a receiving core, we really try to pride ourselves on. And he did a great job. And, yeah, it was good to get him, we've been able to get him a little bit more involved here the last couple of weeks, which has been good. I think a big key to us playing well because he's one of our best players. And he's done well. Now, he's a tough matchup out there. He really is. I mean, the speed, the ability to go get the ball down the field, the stuff after the catch, I mean – he's really, really turned himself into a really good player and keeps getting better. So he's a big factor for us. We want to keep him involved. And obviously, we probably don't have the same outcome without him making some of those catches that he did.
John Shin.
Lincoln, with I guess kind of all the psychology and stuff you've had to do with the quarterback room probably the last 72 hours, do you ever kind of go, maybe I wish I had a position coach
and I enjoy this part of it. I mean, that's so much of what you do as a head coach. I mean, oftentimes I may not be in there coaching a D lineman, but when there's an issue, guess whose door gets knocked on, I get a knock every now and then. And so that's the fun part. I mean, the scheme stuff is fun, but I mean, I think, time to guide these guys through the ups, the downs, try to mentally get them in a great place, help them with things they're dealing with. I mean, that's our whole staff prides ourselves on it. It's important, probably more important in this day and age, maybe than ever before, with all the distractions, all the stuff out there, mental health issues. I mean, you just name it. The X's and O's and all that stuff is a blast, and I still enjoy that. But the hands-on approach with the guys, the quarterbacks, any position is still probably my most important job. I enjoy it. Again, doesn't mean every day's great, every day's rosy. I mean, that's the nature of my job is you're never going to get to a point where everybody's happy. And I understand that. But we're trying to get to a point where everybody's supported and everybody's got a kind of a path forward to doing better individually and doing better for the team. And we try to always make sure that we're doing our part there.
Ryan Chapman. Lincoln, since you've arrived, you guys have been really good after Texas. What kind of goes into that behind the scenes as far as avoiding a letdown? And then especially considering just the emotional nature of this game, the big comeback, the quarterback stuff going on, is that challenge going to be even harder this year?
I hope not. I mean, you guys hear me talk about the Texas game. It's a phenomenal game, but I say it every year. It's probably too much made of it. I mean, everybody wants to talk about, like, these giant recruiting ramifications and, oh, my God, if we lose and, oh, if we win, it's so amazing. I mean, it's great. It's a rivalry win. It's a great win. It was great that Saturday. And, shoot, Sunday morning, man, we're on a TCU. Like, that's over. I mean, if that was the pinnacle of our season, if it was – our number one and only goal the entire year was just to beat Texas, then shoot, I wouldn't be up here right now. I'd be on vacation right now. So, I mean, there's so much left for us. We're just now at the halfway point of this thing. So that's been our mentality all the years. I mean, I think the previous teams have done a good job with that, but this team's got to do it. It's got to be our challenge. We got the blueprint of how to do it, but we got to go do it, and we got to get past the win. I told them we'll all get around someday when we're old and yuck it up and talk about it, but we're done with it for now.
Joey Helmer?
Yeah, just from a maturity standpoint, Caleb, what he came in and did the other day, is he more advanced than a typical freshman? Because that could have been really overwhelming, just kind of the situation he came into, and yet he was poised throughout.
Yeah, he did a good job handling it. It's one game. He did a lot of good. There's things he got to catch all the snaps. I mean, there's some things he did well where he looked like a freshman, or some things he didn't do well where he looked like a freshman. Some things that he did well, obviously, to make some of those plays. So I mean, I think it was certainly positive. Always excited to see a guy with kind of their first real shot and how they go perform. And I think overall he handled it well, but. he'll have a chance to get a lot better as he improves and as we go on. We had a lot of young guys come in there and handle it well. So I definitely don't want to minimize it, but I mean, it was, you know, we got a long way to go here, and he needs to, you know, he needs to build on it and keep improving like everybody else.
Lincoln, you once described Kennedy Brooks' running style as like he's in the park with his Labrador. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen anybody else that runs like that? How unique is his running style?
It's really unique. I don't know that there's anybody I could pinpoint to that. It almost led us, honestly, to not offering him in high school. And we were a late offer. And, you know, God just – we watched the tape and we would like it, but we never were like, wow. You know, it's like – you know, like on the field the other day, like you watch him running, like compared to like Bijan, you know, it's different. It's just a different style. And Bijan's style kind of catches your eye more. You know, there's a little more suddenness, a little bit more explosion. You know, it just looks different. But, I mean, he's just good at it, man. I don't know. It's so hard to describe. And like, it was like the same thing we were going through evaluating him in high school. It was like, man, he's good. Is he big enough? Is he fast enough? Blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know if he's big enough or fast enough, but he rushed about 350 yards a game, you know, so something's pretty good. And I'm glad, obviously, that we got past, you know, some of the, you know, maybe question marks that we had and just looked at, you know, the guy's a really darn good football player. And it's a unique style. It's very the patience is I've had to get used to it, too. You know, first in his career, we would get on him a lot for, you know, not running harder, not finishing runs more, not making cuts more violently. And as we went through, you just learned that's just kind of him. And as you watch, I mean, he doesn't miss many cuts. And he's developed a body now where he really breaks a lot of tackles. He's tough to get on the ground. His top-end speed's gotten better. It is unique because it's so, so patient. But I think that guy's carried the ball so much in his life. And so he knows who he is as a runner, and he's very confident and settled in himself and knows what his strengths are, and it's, you know, you see the results of that.
Do you think that you'll have to have those kinds of conversations with NFL teams about him? I mean, I wonder if he'll test well.
I probably so and happily would, but I think you know, are there going to be backs that would go out there and potentially go test better than him? There will be, but you turn on the tape, there ain't too many better than that guy.
Okay, just a few more back left.
Coach, I'm sorry if I'm reaching here, but I just want to clear the air about Spencer Rattler and the stigma that you mentioned earlier. So I feel like on the outside, we're all seeing one part of his character, but you bring up how he is as a teammate and as a player that you coach. So what do you see that's different than what we're all seeing? Because I feel like it's two different versions.
What are you guys seeing?
Just off of social media, and we're all students, so we see him kind of a lot. And I feel like he does kind of get a bad rap. I think a lot of times people look too far into the person rather than the player, too. Just hearing a lot of things of like him being a selfish player on the field, that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, honestly. I mean, couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, for somebody, I'm not saying you personally, but for people that have not been in that arena, what the intestinal fortitude it took for that guy to go back in that game the other day when we put him in that moment, it's hard to explain. And as a coach, you don't put a guy in there if you're worried that, well, he's selfish and he didn't go back in the game and he's not mentally locked in and he's not ready to help the team. I mean, that's the most important play, single play of the game. So, you know, I don't know that in one answer I could give you a synopsis of this guy, who he is with this team, who he is behind closed doors. I tell you, you know, what he's going through is not easy. He's been a tremendous teammate the entire way through. He's done well here academically. He's done well here off the field. He was maybe the youngest player, I think, since I've been here to be named a team captain by his teammates here. He got a pretty good resume. And he's not perfect. He's learning. He's growing. He's made mistakes. I mean, I think like all of us do at that age. But if if this guy, if we've seen his worst, then he's going to be okay. I'll put it that much. He's a heck of a kid. He's a really good player. He got a lot of big days and bright days ahead of him.
Two more, Andy Radosovich.
I was just going to kind of follow up on the poise for Caleb in that moment to be thrown in there. Is that, you learn anything else about how he handled that situation? It looks like he's a very calm guy.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, similar to the last answer, I would say, I mean, I think, you know, mentally he was in a good place. I mean, there were still some young jitters in there. I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe not obvious to somebody that's not coaching him, but there was still, you know, there were still moments he looked like a freshman, and there were moments he handled it well. And for the majority, I would say for the most part, he did handle it well. So, and yeah, that's important. I mean, it's for young guys, especially at that position, to go in and play well in that game, it's and that atmosphere and all that, I think it does say a lot about guys. And because it's you know, the atmospheres don't get much better than that. So, no, it does. I think any time you can get these young guys on the field, give them a chance to play, and they do well, you're going to gain confidence in them as a coach, and they're going to gain more confidence as a player.
How new is this whole thing to you, having to kind of go through what – everybody's going through this week as far as possibly changing starters? Do you find yourself reaching out to people outside the program for advice, or?
No, because I mean, like for me, you know, like I got 22 other positions or 21 other positions offensively and defensively, got all these guys wanting to play on special teams. I mean, I deal with this all the time. I know I haven't always been the quarterback. I get that. And are there some small differences because it's a quarterback? Sure there is. I'm not going to sit up here and say there's not, but you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect with it, but this is not the first conversations like these I've had in my career. So there's a lot I can draw back on. And again, what makes my job easier is I've got two good players and I got two really good kids that are committed to the team. And that's what makes this. If I didn't have that, if I had selfish guys, if I had guys weren't committed to the team or guys that weren't very good players, it wouldn't be very much fun. I mean, there's no easy way around that. But fortunately, I got two good ones.
Yeah, Lincoln, you got a lot going on in the game. You're the head coach. You're the offensive coordinator. You got to figure out when a punt got blocked, all kinds of stuff. How engaged are you with whoever's not playing quarterback? In other words, say Spencer was still locked in. How'd you know he was locked in?
Yeah, just I interact with them after every series. I typically bring them over and talk to them either during one of the timeouts, try to typically catch it during the timeout, but occasionally I'll be talking to them during a defensive series and then watching what's going on out there. So, and then through our talks at halftime, I could tell they were both very locked in and continued to communicate with both of them throughout the game. And I know those guys well enough, especially Spencer, been in enough with him. Like I can tell when he's locked in and ready, and he was locked in and ready.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind Casino, still the one, and by Allstate, proud partner of Oklahoma Athletics. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU on the air. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Sooner Sports Network.